I'll request Friday here on the Green Zone. Of course, thinking of Dad today going into Father's Day weekend. 1-877-332-8255 with your request for Dad. That one's coming in from Jace, a little Eagles and Hotel California. Again, you can send your text to 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone. Still to come, Frank McChrystal is going to join us, Hall of Famer in the Builder category for the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, the former coach of the U of R Rams and Junior Rams programs for over 3 decades, and he'll talk about his career and what it's like to join some legends in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Britton Gray will break down, of course, the Riders and the Tiger Cats a little bit later on, and Matthew Iwanek from Edmonton Sports Talk on last night's Oilers game. Speaking of the Oilers and the Panthers, game 4 last night, overtime, Leon Draisaitl with the winner. 2-2 is the series. It's time for our Green Zone grades with our top grades and our failing grades.
Jamie and I will start with you. What's your failing grade?
You!
Why?
You, Locker. I can't wear an Oilers jersey tomorrow because they lost.
See, I was at the bar. I wasn't going to even bring this up.
Taylor Swift's there. She's going to curse the Jeff Skinner's in the lineup.
Skinner.
You think watching your house out of the game is going to end it? Nothing you do matters for the Edmonton Oilers.
You just keep living with your head in the sand.
Old enough to know this. Old enough to know this. That whatever you do or what you wear or where you watch the game or who's at the stadium and who's in the rink doesn't matter.
There's a method to my madness.
So I expect you at the watch party tomorrow.
I'm not wearing a jersey. I've already made up my
mind. So wear the Oilers jersey.
No.
Wear the blue one.
No.
They're on home ice. They're wearing the blue. You wear the blue.
I have a plan. I've already thought about it. I know what I'm doing.
The plan will not work.
I have a plan for Boston Pizza, the watch party.
It won't work. It doesn't matter.
You worry about you. I'll worry about me.
Locker's my failing grade for his ridiculous superstitions during the Stanley Cup final.
Hold on. If I didn't have an impact on the game, why am I your failing grade?
No, you're my failing grade because you think you had an impact on the game. That's the failing grade. Okay, your turn. What's your failing grade?
Jamie, my failing grade, Evander Kane.
3 penalties in the first period, 2 high stickings, which I'm hating.
He took the first one, and it was a high stick. Happened about halfway through the first period. Not surprising that Kane basically got sat last night as well. Nobby benched him. He was a -1, 13 minutes of ice time. He should be up around 18, 19, 20 minutes of ice time if he's being effective. He's playing on the second line with Draisaitl. 0 points, no shots on net. I don't want to talk about his game 3, whatever the heck that was. Kane needs to be better. He needs to be in control of his anger, and I have a feeling that he is going to have... Here's the positive. I've had 2 failing grades for Evander Kane this week. He's going to bounce back for game 5. We need Evander Kane to be better, but he's getting my failing grade for his performance not only in game 3, but in last night's matchup in Florida as they head back to Edmonton.
And your voice clearly shows that you were screaming obscenities at the television like they could hear you as well. That's also a failing grade for me.
I was yelling a lot last night.
Yeah. They can't hear you, Locker.
All right. Jamie, what's your top grade?
My top grade is Leon Draisaitl. Mr. Clutch for the Oilers.
Let's pass across. Here's Jackson.
Leon Draisaitl, you'll remember this, had 0 overtime winners in his NHL playoff career. You remember Ron McLean?
I remember this.
Overtime in game 4 of round 1 when they were going through their picks. That, you know, Leon Draisaitl's never had an OT winner in his career. And Leon, boom, scores that night. That was a huge goal, too. The LA Kings could have been up 3-1 to that series if they win that game. But Leon tied that series at two.
So that was a game four as well.
That was a game four, tying the series at two. Sound familiar? Game one got the huge OT winner to start the series, and now he is the record holder. Most overtime winners in a single Stanley Cup playoffs. He's got four of them in these playoffs alone. Move over, Connor McDavid. We have a new front runner for the Conn Smythe Trophy this year. His name is Leon Draisaitl, and he wears number 29 for the Oilers. That's my top grade.
7-0, Pickard. Conn Smythe?
No.
Okay.
Leon Draisaitl is... We're got Leon Draisaitl, and then if the Panthers win the series, Bobrovsky or Sam Bennett... Yeah. We'll be in the conversation.
It is interesting that it's not McDavid right now.
No. Not McDavid from not, he's not leading the Stanley Cup Finals.
He's leading the playoffs in points.
He's tied now. Leon tied him now. They're 32-32
each. Okay.
And four overtime winners for Leon.
That's huge.
He's the Conn Smythe leader.
So the record for the most overtime winners in the Stanley Cup playoffs is Joe Sakic with eight. So I can't catch
that's
him this
total.
Year.
That's total.
Total. But total over the years.
Leon has the record for most in a single Stanley Cup playoffs.
All right. My top grade goes to Nuge, Jamie.
Connor McDavid. Draisaitl. Looks across. Nugent Hopkins. The Oilers are on the board.
That was the first goal for the Oilers last night. It was in the second period. It was on the power play. And it was very calm. It was... A lot of people didn't even know it had happened. It didn't sound like Chris Cuthbert knew it happened either. Nuge is the oldest Oiler. He was drafted by Edmonton.
Longest-serving Oiler.
Yes, sorry. Longest-serving. He was drafted in 2011. He's 32 right now. He's the most versatile player they have on the ice to date. This is his 14th season in the NHL. He's clearly hurt right now. They're saying that he might have an elbow or a wrist or some kind of a situation. You don't see him on too many draws. And in my opinion, last night, obviously, we just heard the Draisaitl goal, and everybody's talking about that in OT with the winner and his fourth of this playoffs in OT. But I think he was the best Oiler last night. And he got the scoring going and calmed everything down. He got an assist on the go-ahead goal in the third as well. He's the heart and soul of this squad. He's seventh in points in playoffs this year with 20, fourth on the team behind McDavid, Draisaitl, and Bouchard, and he's the ninth highest scoring Edmonton Oiler in playoffs history. All right, Edmonton doesn't win that game last night without my boy, Nuge. He gets my top grade. Quick honorable mention, too, for Perry. Apparently he had like a speech for the boys in between the first and second. So we'll throw that out.
I'm going to mention this real quick. There's our grades, by the way. It felt like Chris Knobloch was protecting Connor McDavid's reputation last night in the postgame, because everybody was like, Leon Draisaitl, he talks the talk, he walks the walk. What do you think? And then right away, said, we got a lot of guys in the room that are leaders. Corey Perry mentioned some. It seemed like Corey Perry led the charge. We have a lot of guys who step up and talk in the room. Like, I wonder how much of that going on is trying to go.
It's personalities, though, right? And everybody has a different way of leading.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Some are in your face. Some are a little more reserved. Some, you know, they
lose it in their snap and start saying,
yeah,
it's not good enough.
Yeah,
it's the finals.
One thing I will say this, in my very humble opinion, and I don't hang out with the guys, but I listen, McDavid, he's the best hockey player I've ever seen. He's the best hockey player in the NHL right now. You put a C on that kid. But Draisaitl, I think, is a better leader.
Well,
that's my opinion. When you see them speak, he just seems like the guy that...
He's a more. It seems like it's more natural to him, where Connor McDavid's just, I'm going to go out there and just try to drag you along.
It's a little quieter, too, right?
Absolutely. It's just natural or instinctual behavior, but I think more natural lead is a Leon Draisaitl. It's like Messier and Gretzky. It's not the Wayne Gretzky Leadership Award in the National Hockey League. It's the Mark Messier Leadership Award in the National Hockey League, because Mark was a more natural leader. Wayne was just the best player on the ice for the Edmonton Oilers. Anyways, let's get to your grades. Who gets your top grade? Who gets your failing grade? You can give us a ring right now at 1-877-332-8255. send us a text. Of course, you can voice text us as well at that same number, 1-877-332-8255, for your top grades and your failing grades from Game 4 last night with the Oilers evening the series at 2. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday here in the Green Zone. Oh, what's a tune you think Dad wants to hear on this Friday? Getting ready for Father's Day weekend. 1-877-332-8255. The guess who would be among the favorites for the dads up there. Let's go to Wayne in Saskatoon. Wayne, who gets your top grade from the Oiler game last night?
So we can't give a failing grade and a top grade?
You can give both, Wayne.
Oh, good. The goalie, Pickard, came in. It wasn't pretty. Neither was Hasek, and he did a lot of winning. He gets my A+, higher than that if we go back to old school. He got 100, man. Like, he was crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Seven straight wins for Pickard.
That's crazy.
That
7-0 in these playoffs.
And he's had to step in. Like, that's also on a, like... Yeah. All right, you're up.
Okay, Wayne, who gets your failing grade?
Well, the rat Marchand.
What did he do this time?
Oh, man, that was pathetic. He got the high stick on him. Clearly, it hit him on the side of the helmet. He's grabbing his mouth. He's checking for blood. Oh, my God. So I just, really. So, everyone saw it. Oh, Arena saw it. Everyone there saw it.
I'm wondering if that's why the Oilers aren't getting some of the high-sticking calls, because of the embellishments where refs aren't sure anymore, Locker, when the guy grabs his face. Did he actually get hit in the head? I didn't really see it. Because on the third goal that got Stetcher benched.
Stetcher didn't... I think Stetcher kind of reacted. He didn't throw... The one that was an embellishment, in my opinion, was... Still should have been a penalty, was the boarding call on Bouchard, that missed call. Because at first, he was saying that he got hit in the head. But if you go back and slow it down, he got hit in the numbers. It should have been a boarding call, but he didn't get hit in the head. So the whole thing on the bench was all theater. So that kind of stuff drives me crazy. So I wasn't too thrilled with that.
Sometimes I'm thinking that's why the refs keep the whistle in their mouth or out of their mouth, is because they're like,
embellishment has been bad. I would suggest that...
he might have oversold that one.
This isn't the worst series so far in the playoffs, but both Florida and Montreal have their... Or not Montreal, the Oilers, I should say, have their moments of embellishment, I would say, on both sides.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone, 1-877-332-8255. If you want to text us your top grades, your failing grades from last night's game number 4.
Another top grade for Calvin Pickard just came in from Reg on text.
Of course, we'll find out tomorrow who's starting to net for the Oilers, Skinner or Pickard. For game 5, we'll have that gigantic watch party with the Rider game and the Oiler game tomorrow night. 5 o'clock for the Rider game, 3 o'clock for the Green Zone pregame show. We do know Kadeem Carey will make his debut for the Rough Riders after signing earlier this week. AJ Ouellette's good to go. He will be starting, as is Roland Milligan Jr., but Kian Schaefer-Baker put on the 6-game injured list. The U.S. Open, the third golf major of the year. J.J. Spahn leads by 1. Sam Burns in a group at 3 under par. The top Canadian right now, I have to scroll a little bit further down the list, as Taylor Pendrith is 4 over, as is Nick Taylor. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we get to talk to one of the newest Canadian Football Hall of Famers. It's about time. Frank McChrystal is going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. He'll join us in studio next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday here in the Green Zone. We're getting your request for Dad as Tony requesting a little CCR, A Bad Moon Rising here on the Green Zone. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line.
Is that for Tony's dad? We're taking requests for Dad, right?
My dad would love to hear CCR.
There
Bad
you
Moon
go.
Rising. There you have it. Request for Dad. But right now, we're going to talk to the newest member of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Will be inducted later this year. The former University of Regina Rams, junior Rams head coach, former player, multiple championships, Hall of Famer Frank McChrystal. As I said earlier, it's about time, Frank, they gave you the call.
Yeah, no, it's actually been a lot of fun. And the last few days have been a lot of fun for sure. And hear from people from all over the place, you know, that I coached with and coached and coached against, actually. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Did Sarge even give you?
The Sarge, I only coached against the Sarge for 1 year.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm old. I only coached 1 year against him. But, yeah, Brian Doby from the U of M. I missed this call today, and I'll have to listen to his voicemail, which should be like about 15 minutes long. He's a very, very chatty fella. So Kevin Scott, he was a guy that coached the Hilltops when in the 80s when I was coaching at that time. Mm-hmm. And so good guys. Gene Mikowski, you know. I bring those guys up because it's Saskatoon.
Yeah.
You know? And the Saskatoon guys. I always say, a little bit of a
rivalry over the years there, Frank.
Well, I've been very misunderstood in Saskatoon. It's the way I like to put it. So, yeah.
Frank, we got a chuckle when we sent you a note and said, hey, would you like to come on? And we told you the time, and you said, I think your response back to our producer was, you guys are really messing up my happy hour.
Well, I know, but if it's Friday the 13th and right during happy hour, and as a senior, you don't mess with happy hours. You know?
Like, and a retiree, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I know Daryl Davis of the Green Zone pre- and post-game show, late leader post, he's part of the Hall of Fame committee. He was the one who had the honor. He said, can I call Frank? What was it like when Daryl's like, Frank, You're going in the Hall of Fame?
Well, when he told me, I picked up the phone. I was out for a walk, and he told me, and I was kind of going, yeah, are you really? Like, I was obviously surprised by it. And then he goes on to tell me that, oh, yes, you get a jacket and you get a ring and they have a bust. They put a bust of you. And I said, a bust? And he says, yeah. And I said, oh, my God, I better keep walking then. I'll walk a little longer. Like, my head's going to be fat enough as it is without. it was surprising. You know, you're surprised and you're kind of, I don't know whether uncomfortable is the right word, but I've been somewhat uncomfortable with it. You know, there's so many people involved and so many people that do their thing to make the Rams work. And, you know, it kind of be centered out is, I need to make sure that I communicate that it's a team thing and a program.
Absolutely.
Thing.
I think that's probably why you're in the hall, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that approach to it. What are you most proud of from your 30-year career, Frank?
You know, they asked that and they, what's your disappointment and what do you wish you had have done or not done? But I think I'm most proud of the players and most guys would think, oh, you're talking about John Ryan or Akeem Hicks or those types of things. But, you know, I'm proud of some of the guys that have gone on. I got a message from a guy that's a policeman in Regina. And, you know, they talk about playing on the Rams made a difference. Mike Thomas, what he does with flag football is like unbelievable. And you never hear 3,500 kids and you never hear a bad word about flag football. So I'm most proud of what they've accomplished. There's a Brett Jones that could be the starting center for the Riders right now, but he got into med school and he says, I'm going to go because I want to give something back to the community. I don't want to be a surgeon. I want to be a GP because I want to be involved in the community. So I'm proud of those kinds of things that have happened with our players.
Do you have a number of how many guys that have come through the program from?
Well you know, Daryl asked me, do you know how many practices you had? I go, no, I know I never missed a practice, 41 years. I might have missed when I played here and there, but as a coach, never. How many guys, Rob Vanstone asked me that, and we're probably well into the thousands for sure. You know, when you're talking anywhere from, you know, right around that 60 number, 60, 70 players, but we used to keep. So that's, you know, over 30 some years, that's a fair number.
Frank McChrystal joining us in studio, now going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame in the builder category, joining another builder who was an influence for you was Gord Curry.
Yeah.
How big of an influence was he as you as a young player and then you as a young coach until you took over the Rams program?
Yeah, I tell you, it's when I look at the people that are in there in the Hall of Fame, and I'd never really thought too much about it before, but I looked at it and I go, holy smokes, there's some pretty special people that are in there, from a Ron Lancaster to a George Reed to these kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And Gord Curry, who is such a, you know, an influential guy for, again, years and years. I mean, he coached baseball, he coached hockey, he coached football. He was a principal in the public school system here. He's just really a solid, amazing, common sense guy that I certainly leaned on a great deal, not only just as a player, but, you know, as a coach, where we'd get together and talk and, you know, not often talk about football, to be honest with you, talk about other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy ended up being, he was the Minister of Education, you know, in the 80s. Is a pretty special person. And to be in the hall, the same hall that he's in, it's certainly humbling.
So, Frank, you spent years, you know, at the university level and junior ranks. Was there ever a conversation? Did you ever sit down with your wife and talk about maybe, I don't know, did the CFL ever, was it ever an option for you, or you just loved what you did?
No, I didn't pursue that. There's certainly times when I was asked to guest coach, you know, with the Riders and that type of thing, but it wasn't something that I was particularly interested in. And part of that is that it was important. I didn't want to move my family around. I didn't want to be away from my family because, you know, whatever you may say, like, you guys are going to get fired. You know, guys get fired and they move on, and I didn't want to bounce my family around. So I never pursued that part at all. And I mean, I like teaching. You know, I was a teacher, and I taught for 20 some years before I had to go full time or as a coach or go full time as a teacher. But it wasn't something that I was interested in. I was pretty happy where I was.
Frank McChrystal, Canadian Football Hall of Fame inductee, the class of 2025. What's it like when you see, you know, going in with the Jermaine Copelands and the Brian Chu, Javon Alafoyoye, these CFL superstars who will be joining you for the Hall of Fame induction?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of interesting because I'm sure that some people that are there doing this kind of thing, like, will go, who's this? Who's this guy? But they'll know who all of those guys are. And I mean, some of the players, when you go through, it's pretty like Doug Flutie, you know, and like guys like that. And it's pretty, pretty amazing. And I think it's a lot of fun to be kind of hanging around with them.
How do you reflect on like, I can't remember which game it was. I might remember which game it was. I would have been, it was one of the coldest games I've ever been to. It was either the national semifinal or final. Way back in the day, I think Darrell Leeson was the quarterback of the Rams. Yeah. How do you reflect on those championship moments? Because you had more than a few with the Rams, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, I think it was 95 against Ottawa. It was snowing and it was cold and everything. And Leeson was the quarterback. We had some great times. And, you know, I do reflect from time to time on the successes we had. Oftentimes, you know, when you lose, you lose a game or lose something, you kind of go, that's the one that you seem to remember. And you go, geez, I should have done this, or we should have done that, or what if this had have happened? And certainly when push comes to shove, you can always blame it on the referees. So, you know, that type of thing. But I reflect on what the courage of the players, you know, the courage for them to put themselves out there and to do the things and accomplish the things that they did was something that always awed me when I'd watch Neil Hughes or Jason Claremont or Daryl Leeson or, you know, playing with guys like Roger Aldag. It was I was always awed by how courageous and they were.
Frank, you talk about that team and in football in particular, it takes a bunch of people, right? Oh. And it's nice to see that you have that gratitude for that type. Is there a type of personality trait that football people are like sort of born with? Does everybody have that sort of team mentality?
Well, other than the quarterback, I think everybody is kind of everybody gets the whole team thing, you know? And they really take on, you know, that this is a team and I'm a part of something.
Yeah.
Inclusive of, you know, some of the unsung people that you don't really say very much about, but unbelievably need are equipment managers. And why would a kid, an equipment manager, he's there before anybody else is. He's there after everyone else is gone and he's cleaning equipment. You have the trainers that are there and they're there way before, you know, an hour and a half before practice starts because they're taping and they're after because they're doing treatment after practice. They were always volunteers. They got paid. They might get an honorarium of $900 or $1,000 for the season and that. So it really is people that understand being a part of the team. If they stay a part of the team, they come to understand it and that they contribute their part. And I think you need to make sure that they understand how important and valued they are to the program as a whole.
As you talk about team, what was it with your team with the Rams way? Because it went from like Leeson, and then you have Orban, and you have, you know, Mueller, and you go in the Picton, like that quarterback, that trail of quarterbacks, they were like the best in Canada.
Yeah.
And it was always the Rams quarterback who was throwing ridiculous yardage and touchdowns.
Well, Bernie Schmidt was a big part of it. Bernie Schmidt, offensive coordinator, and he is an outstanding coach, and not just in terms of X's and O's, but in terms of understanding people and giving people the right direction and putting them in places that will allow them to succeed. And you know, that's what we did. And so not only we had the quarterbacks, we had great receivers. You know, we were University U, or Receiver U, is what they called it. So, I mean, Bernie Schmidt was a huge part of it. And then Rick Seaman, we got him over coaching the receivers. And I coached with those guys, you know, for Bernie in high school. And, you know, he came on to the Rams in, I think, 1982 and stayed till 2014. And Rick Seaman, he came on in 1984 and he stayed till 2014. And, you know, we had Jerry Orban in there too, doing the offensive line. So that's some pretty special long-term things. People,
you're retired now. You got a little more time on your hands, or?
Well, I'm retired. Yeah, and
how do you keep yourself busy, Frank?
Well, I'll keep myself busy with grandkids. Like, they're lots of fun. I had my oldest grandson turned 5 yesterday, so we were at a party with him, and he's going to a school. It's Horlack School in the South End. And they took him for kindergarten orientation, and they've got a picture of him with his hand on a husky, and it says future huskies. And I go,
wait a minute,
can we fix this? And so my son, this little guy's uncle, he said, maybe we can get a petition going and make them the Horlack Hawks or something. Let's get the name changed. So, yeah. So that's what I keep busy at, doing stuff with those guys.
Right when you said it, I was like, oh no. I can't. McChrystal is a husky. Wait a second. That's not right.
Yeah.
But Frank, of course, congratulations. I would be remiss without bringing up a good friend of ours that we miss dearly. I know Woodsy would be tickled pink all those nights you guys hung out in the clubhouse together doing some post-game assessments after those Ram games.
Warren Woods was great and we became fast friends, and I know when we won Canadian championships he got a ring too. You know, and he was I spoke at his celebration of life, and Yeah, he was a really good guy. He became a part of the team, you know, but never lost his objectivity. So I had respect for him professionally, and he did love to kick back and have a few beer.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And again, congratulations, Frank. It's great to see more than deserved, and I can't wait for the induction ceremony later this year.
Thank you.
That is Hall of Famer Frank McChrystal going into the 2025 class of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday, Songs for Dad is the theme for Father's Day weekend, 1-877-332-8255. I imagine there might be a few of those out at Country Thunder for Def Leppard this summer in Craven.
I wanted to do Friday the 13th theme songs, like from horror movies and stuff. I got vetoed.
Well, we did it for Mother's Day. We got to do it for Father's Day with All Request Friday. Going into Father's Day weekend, just all things being fair and equal, 1-877-332. Are you not? You are superstitious about Friday the 13th, are you? You won't even wear a jersey tomorrow for the Oiler game because you're superstitious. You probably would have freaked out if Game 5 was today.
No, hit under a table
or something.
No, I'm not that guy. I'm not the black hat guy or under the ladder guy.
What?
Never
have. Why won't you wear a jersey tomorrow?
Listen,
if you're not that
sports
guy?
Is different. Sports is different.
Locker's Logic, a new segment coming to the Green Zone. Let's get to the 1 minute drill. U.S. Open. J.J. Spahn had the lead. He's bogeyed, and he is back into one shot back. Thurston Lawrence and Sam Burns are tied atop the leaderboard. I'm watching right at 8 over par right now.